I remember that.
Wow.
Things that happen when you go to your horse racing.
You mean?
Yeah.
That's right. Less than 48 hours.
It's not going to be raining in Florida, is it?
I hate you. Let's talk Lions. And I want to credit. I want to credit Mark Ryan and Jeff Rieger. They were doing sports. And listen, I want to build off something they talked about. Now, clearly, we're going to do it in a different way. But they had a very interesting conversation. Now, I think part of this was a little tongue-in-cheek, but they were going down listing every concern you have about the Lions. And like by the time they got to like concern 9 or 10, some of these were stretches. Mm-hmm. But I started thinking about if we take the concerns and instead of just listing them, if I asked you to put a tagline next to each concern as real or imagined, and we go through these and talk through these, what would there be any consensus on the ability to get rid of some of these concerns or lock them in?
Okay.
So like an example, a concern to me that I don't think enough people talk about is the offensive line, the loss of Ragnow and Zeitler.
Yes.
I think people just gloss over it by saying, well, Mahogany. And it's like, okay, but he played about 100 snaps. That's not enough for me to believe that he's all of a sudden awesome.
And that's one position.
And you could have a rookie moonlighting at center who's never played center. When Dan Campbell was asked about his biggest concern, he said the O-line. See, I think the O-line and taking a step back is a real concern.
Yes, absolutely a real concern. I mean, yes, it was almost like you didn't plan ahead for what happened. And yes, you're relying on Mahogany. You're relying on a true rookie. Now, I don't know where they're going to play him, but it's up the middle. It's going to be a step back. For a guy like David Montgomery, that's your bread and butter. And even Goff, like the pressure now, you don't have to worry about the edges because I think it's coming up the middle.
Concern, real or imagined? Loss of both high-level coordinators. Now, the fans fight this. I think it's a real concern. And if you watch the show Quarterback, which is largely garbage, I think you got a window into the importance of Ragnow and Ben Johnson. But I'll leave the TV viewing to you guys. I think it's absolutely a real concern. Continuity was your weapon. And when you shake it up, very rarely is it seamless.
I think it is a real concern, and it's not even the more Ben Johnson. It was Aaron Glenn and what he was able to do with chewing gum and duct tape and keeping that defense together where literally it was like guys were rolling in on Tuesday with a name tag. Hi, I'm this guy. I played at this school.
Right. They were bringing in TJ's frat bros.
Right.
Pat O'Connor.
At some point, he's just yelling out numbers. Hey, at the 78, yeah, you, get over there. You're in the wrong spot.
All right, so we are 2 for 2 on real versus imagined. Now, people, if you want to get into this, 248-539-9797. Here's another one they brought up. The defensive line, pass rush slash injuries. Onzarike out for the year. Aleem out at least until November. You're depending on Davenport to stay healthy. Over-under on those games is probably, what, 6? Pascal's going to be out all of training camp. Again, I'm asking the question. Real or imagined, the D-line at large.
This is real. This is real. I mean, it's been one of the things I've been begging the Lions to do and begging Brad to do for years. Hey, draft this guy. Go get this guy. Add to the defensive line. Bring the pressure. Nah, we're gonna bolster the secondary. Wrong way. Attack the quarterback. Shorten the time that he has the ball in his hands, and good things happen for the defense. Now, I think you're seeing with the injuries that they had and they still have Mike, and you know, we're crossing our fingers that Aiden's going to be 100% and he's going to pick up where he left off.
Coach.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I just did big media days are just something else.
It looks like he could be Tom Crawford's brother.
Okay. Make it easy. So listen, you're saying real.
Yeah, I'm saying real.
Here's the only way it's imagined is the last part. If Aiden comes back and is a true defensive player of the year, that he lives up to the potential, not only does he stay healthy, but the pressures. This is where Cookies and I always get into arguments. The pressures are valuable, but ultimately sacks are what stop drives. The pressures have to convert into sacks.
But
I'm making a point is, Rico, if he becomes the best defensive lineman in the league and he has one of these intergalactic seasons, could it cover up enough of the rest that it took a real concern and made it imagine?
No, because I think even if he's Miles Garrett, Mike...
Because
I can double team him and say, you know what? Somebody else has to beat me, okay. But I'm going to make sure he's always going to have two people.
I'm going to put this as real question mark. Real question mark.
Can he?
Okay. Concern, real or imagined. The schedule. Rieger went on and on about the schedule. It wasn't a big fight. But what do we always say? Playing the scheduling game is stupid. And look at last year as an example. We thought the San Francisco game would be a clash of the Titans, battle for the one seed.
Yep.
Cutscene. By that point in the season, the Niners were Oscar the Grouch. We thought the Cowboys would be a tough assignment. Cutscene. Cowboys were booty. Right. You want me to keep going? The point is,
schedules. Yeah, nobody saw Minnesota. Like, why did the league have them playing Minnesota in the final couple games? Well, they kind of knew something.
So, both good and bad, schedules very rarely play out the way they look on paper. That said, on paper, is this factually the most difficult road schedule in the history of the league? Yes, by winning percentage. Does your division, on paper, look like the best division in the league? Yes. Schedule, real or imagined concern?
I'm going to say it's real, Mike, and it's not...
No question mark?
No, it's not even a question mark, because if I told you that you're going to be playing... three of the top five quarterbacks in the first 6 weeks, that's Burrow, Lamar, Patrick Mahomes, and all three on the road. Okay.
Concern, real or imagined, and it's in the news today. They brought this up on Middays. Alex Anzalone, clearly not happy. You had a quote from Dan Campbell that I think is worth reading.
Yeah, Dan Campbell... on Sirius XM NFL Blitz today said that this is Jack Campbell's defense. He's taking ownership and sets the tone for everybody. It is not a concern. Not a concern at all. He is not part of their long-term plan. We see what Brad Holmes does to his guys, quote. He takes care of them. They don't hit the final year of their deal. If you hit the final year of your deal, you're basically one step away from being Zadarius. Okay. You can show up to Allen Park all you want, but buddy, you're not on the team anymore. So Anzalone wants to be here. I think that's imagined. I think they've moved on and handed the reins to somebody else. I know he is, a Detroit icon. If you love the Lions, he's one of your guys. No. You know how fans and it's the Brandon Inge effect, where you take some guy and you make him better than what he really is. That's Anzalone. He's got the hair. He's got all of that. No, that's imagined.
Last one, real or imagined. Now, Mark Ryan brought this up. Rieger challenged him. I thought it was a good conversation. For concerns, Terry and Arnold. He was dreadful last year. Coverage grade of 50. Now, Jeff argued appropriately, he's a rookie. Like, he has a right to get better. Mark said, right, well, he has a right to do it. There's no guarantee he does it. It's a concern until ... Terry and Arnold.
Imagined?
Question mark?
Question mark? I need to see a bigger body of work, because I need to see if he makes that. Did he get better? Like, it was less pass interference penalties as the year went on. So that showed me some improvement. But now I need to see what you're going to do in a somewhat different defensive scheme. Yeah. Now, the one that really I would say is Ennis Rakestraw. I don't know what I'm getting out of this guy.
Well, I didn't have him on the list.
I mean, but that was a number two pick last year.
Can I make a point with Arnold, though?
Second round, yeah.
I think there's something salient to be said. I would say not a concern because he's a rookie.
Question mark?
But I think it is a concern because there's a brand new coordinator taking over. If he could play in the same defense as he played in last year, he could probably mesh a little bit better into it. But now he has to learn a whole bunch of new things. I would say concern for the reason going back to the new coordinator.
So, and that's, Kenny, that's where I'm at because, when push came to shove and he got beat, he got handsy, and he got penalties.
So here's the grading system. 248-539-9797. I asked Rico six of the concerns that Mark and Jeff talked about a few hours ago. Real, three of them. Imagined, one of them. Question mark? Two of them. Sorting through those two paints a real picture. And the imagined were the Anzalone issue, passing of the torch, happiness, whatever you want to call it, and Terry and Arnold. The reals were the schedule, the O-line taking a step back, and the D-line at large, that they just didn't do enough to get better. That Aiden's presence alone, look, I put question mark on the D-line, real question mark.
But no, for me, there's no question mark.
I know that. I want to know from the people. Because as camp unfolds and as we really get into the meat of this, every team's got questions. This is an exercise you could do with every single team, so please don't get in your feelings. It really played into their ultimate topic of, are you expecting the best or bracing for the worst? Because a step back is natural. You're not going to go 15 wins back to back. Coach. But what you're going to do.
He took the sunglasses off.
Thank God.
Right.
Sorry, guys. We're reacting to Big Ten Media Day in Las Vegas. That's a real sentence, by the way. Big Ten Media Day, Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Question mark? What a joke.
I mean, it's going to be in Honolulu next year.
Okay.
Right?
You know, put it on Mars. Sports dead. Who cares? All right. To the people we go. Concerns real or imagined with your football team? And I think Jeff and Mark did a really nice job in the middays. I just want to spend a couple of segments talking through it with Rico. Real, imagined, or the question mark. Andrew Batts leadoff, 97.1. What's up, Andrew? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, pal. What's going on?
Well, my concern is the defensive line and the offensive line. It's in the middle. I mean, we signed a guy for $4 million. Why he had a blew-out knee? I mean, what are we doing? I've been a nonstop fan. Every year I've root for these guys, and the last 3 years have been amazing. And signing the band back together is awesome. But what was this? I mean, that's like,
I don't know.
We have nothing to do now. I mean, what are we going to do? Go get a guy that's 35 years old?
I'm glad you brought it up because you're right. When you put these two signings together, it's just something I couldn't figure out. Is the Onsarike signing with Marcus Davenport? So
yes.
I personally look, and if I'm missing something, I do apologize to you guys, the listener. I try to be up on 99% of things. It doesn't mean I don't miss something. But, like, do we have clarity on Onsarike that, like, when was the
signing happen? Did you sign him and he was damaged goods?
There was a lot of reporting going on, especially yesterday, that he had knee issues at the end of the year.
Correct.
But they didn't think it was anything serious. And then it became too much at the beginning of camp, and they said, hey, we're going to shut you down. You got a torn ACL. Brad Holmes has to answer for that.
That's right. It didn't make sense.
Part of our offseason.
Right, Andrew, that's my whole point. And then you doubled down on it by signing a guy who cannot stay healthy. That's not an insult. At a certain part of your career, you're just not available. Marcus Davenport is never available.
The Super Bowl window could be shut in front of our face. You have to have the offense, and I think the secondary is fine. I really do. I know it's a different scheme.
Yep.
You got a lot of athletes. You got a lot of playmakers out there. It is the middle of the offense and defensive line. That is my number one concern.
And what's the most important thing, right? When push comes to shove, why is Philly and San Francisco largely dominated the NFC over the last 5 years?
The big nasties.
There you go.
That's part of the reason why we've been good. Is McNeil great in the middle? We've been able to stop the run on offense. We're able to pull our guards, pull our center, get a tackle out there to, bump on the outside on the left side for us to, push the ball up the field. Are we going to be able to do that this year?
No, and I think it's super dangerous too. And look, I don't care. No, Andrew, ultimately no one cares, but like I Tyreek Williams was one of the guys I guess they were looking at in the first round, and I was right. Okay, who cares? Well, now here's the problem. I never imagined having to rely upon that player in the same way that I never imagined you would rely on Tate Ratledge. Look, when you need two rookies in your playing group on your O-line and D-line room
to hit the ground running,
that's very difficult both are going to work out from day one. I mean, it just takes time, man. And look, I've lived it. I mean, here, my own team. The Giants drafted the number one center in the draft class, a guy everyone loved, Big Ten guy, John Michael Schmitz, Minnesota. oh, he's a road grader. He's a dominator. He's a linchpin to your. He has sucked his first 2 years. Sucked. So, like, again.
No, Mike, because especially on the offensive and defensive line, but offensive more so, the learning curve is, like.
Immense.
Yeah, it's rare that you get rookie who moment just steps
of silence.
In.
Moment of silence. Your heartthrob is on stage. Do you have anything? Would you like to take the next few minutes off as Mike Locksley?
You know what?
Wax poetic.
I'll have a Mike Locksley question okay. for you.
I know that's your guy. Let's go live to, yes, you in the corner, Rico Beard. Coach.
You feel better about yourself?
I do. Okay. By the way, shout out. All the coaches who rock moo-moos are actually big boys today putting on clothes. Good for them.
Oh, he gets the moo-moo.
Look at Locks.
He drops some LB.
He looks like he's going to Greater Life on Sunday.
Yeah, he actually does. He's about to preach
David,
on Sunday.
David, since when does your uncle coach Maryland? Only thing missing is that double bow tie.
I was about to say, there's no double bow tie. What is that? What is that key pin on his?
I don't know. He could. What is it?
Lock? I have no idea.
What does he keep his house keys in that thing?
Also, what's with these guys holding up their cell phone while they're asking the question? Do they not know that this is being recorded? Both them and
because you got to put it on your website, Kenny. It's like nothing is real. Like you didn't go to a restaurant unless you videotaped it and you recorded it and put it on your Instagram.
But you're on camera right now. You could just use this.
Yeah, but you got to put it on your the gram. Or you got to show people, yeah, this is me. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not real.
For your follower.
Right. It's like the people, yeah, hey, I'm at this restaurant. Or just eat the food. I didn't need to know you were
for
there.
For your fives and tens of followers.
How's that GoTerps.com doing? Sure, it's a real breadwinner. Let's go over to Chuck. I don't even think Maryland fans know they have a football team. Let's go to Charles, 97.1. Charles, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how's it going? So my thought, and I know people might kill me for this, but I have a question. Just because you're a good drafter in Brad Holmes, does that make you a good GM? Because all of his offseason signings, all of his trade deadline signings, all of this stuff, for 3 years... 3 years we've been waiting for him to draft a defensive line, and he's drafted, you know, corners and safeties, and is like avoided the D line like the plague. Besides Aiden Hutchinson, and the O line, he hasn't addressed that, and I just don't see him making the moves besides drafting. And his drafting, I would say, has been maybe 60-70% okay, but even those signings, he's drafted guys way higher than they should have been drafted. Yes, he's caught some lucky breaks in late rounds and has done okay at that, but if you looked at the totality of what he has done, has he done a great job?
I'm going to say yes, but you're also right too. That's not a cop-out. Okay, so I think you make some good points, but absolutely he's done a good job because he hasn't just drafted well, he has drafted all pro caliber players. And you have to give him credit because he not only gave Stafford what he wanted and got a good deal, he got a quarterback that no one believed in, they did, and they've rehabilitated him. Now, to the things you're talking about, here's what I'll say, Charles, and Enrico's going to be Judge Judy on this. I think you're at a bit of a crossroads with the Brad Holmes drafting narrative, meaning last year, that was a bottom five draft as far as impact year one. That's not me saying it. That's anyone in the NFL. Your players simply didn't contribute. Now, if that draft class doesn't get better and this draft class is equally as unimpactful, you're going to have to then take him down off the pedestal and go, wait a second.
You know what?
So it's kind of a crossroads year.
How about we take this full circle and incorporate it what our 2 o'clock topic was? Basically, are you closer to the drafting that you were early on, where you were hitting on everybody?
Right.
Or are you closer to where you are, you know, with this latest couple drafts?
Probably.
I would say we're not.
Yeah, to Charles' point, right? Like I've said for years, regression's coming for you. No one can cheat the system, right? Like no one drafts eternally great. In the NFL, Hall of Fame GMs, you're going to hit about half first round picks. Holmes did such an incredible job. He was due for regression. I still think he's an incredibly sharp guy with a scouting background. Right. But Rico, look, the fact we had Terry and Arnold on here is a question mark, and then Rakestraw already got dinged up in camp, and you don't know what you're getting there. Look, they drafted two corners. They still felt a need to replace Carlton Davis with DJ Reed. Cool, right. I'm making a point. You didn't get anything from your two rooks.
No.
Then you factor in, you drafted a complete project in Manu. You drafted a running back thing, sort of, question mark, in Vaki.
Right.
Got nothing.
Hendon Hooker.
Nothing. But no, you go now.
And now,
this year, hey, if you walk into this season and Tyleek Williams isn't effective or Tate Ratledge doesn't take to the center spot, you're going to have a different conversation, but I got to let that play out a little bit.
If Tesla's on the practice squad.
Oh, boy. No. Because what will happen is I won't be able to do a show with you. Your head will explode. This has become your holy grail. The Tesla pick has upset you from day one, and I have tried to just work with it and go, look, I'm going to trust in what they say.
I understand, but Landon Jackson's right there.
I don't think they value defense.
They don't.
They and don't I've value given up, DNs the way we do.
It's like, okay, how many wide receivers are you going to have? Who are you sitting
there? Hold on, Rico. You cannot then talk about the wide receiver and say you've given up. You have not. You are not giving up on Landon Jackson.
No. I'm saying I wanted them to take him. He was still there. But they went for receiver, David.
They don't value defensive
and that's
ends.
What I said. I've given up. Not on him. I've given up on the Lions going out there and trying to improve this defensive line. I don't know. It's like I'm speaking Mandarin. Like they don't hear anything. It's just we're fine. You're not fine.
Their philosophy.
We're fine. No, you're not.
Their philosophy is that Aiden Hutchinson will raise the level of everyone else, and they can fake it till they make it if Aiden is great. That's just the only plausible thing. And while it doesn't mean they're wrong to act as if there's not another way to do it, no, I agree with you. I mean, an example. Like, I'm not going to yell and scream about the Jadeveon Clowneys and the Von Millers and any other half-baked vet. The point is the Lions are never in on those guys.
Right.
And I'm not going to go crazy about Za'Darius Smith because reality is he's unemployed. All right. If he was so sweet, somebody else would come knocking. Well, he only wants to be here. Right. He also likes money.
Yeah. Well, here doesn't want him.
So, look, it is frustrating that at no level, whether trade, free agency, or drafting, do they seem to want to get better on that exterior of the D-line. Yeah. You're not wrong. But the Tesla thing
you don't need to stand down or stand up.
It's just, I know it's a trigger point for you. That move, I'm going to have to hear about all year long.
Oh, yeah. You need him. Okay. So where are you going to play him?
Next year when J-Mo's not here?
You said it. I did.
What? You said if guys get in the final year of their deal, he's done with it.
Is he in the final year of his deal?
Coach. No, I'm making a point, yeah. All right? I know what. Guys, it's going to be a long season. We're going to hear about Tesla a lot from Rico. 248-539-9797. All right, we are rolling along here. A little Tigers to open a show. A little Lions here. Now, Rico's been hesitant to say what he's about
to
say.
No, I'm not hesitant, Mike.
Oh, you've been hesitant.
No, I've been hesitant. I was about to, but you went to a caller last segment.
You need to start acting.
So I didn't want to cut off the caller.
You're Mr. Southwest Detroit.
You're already in Saratoga.
Say it with your chest. Tell the Lions fans exactly what's on your heart.
I think Lions fans are scared. I think that Lions fans, I don't know what happened. Last year at this time, mentioning Detroit Lions, phone lines, everybody had an opinion. We're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Just great. And now, ever since that loss, it's like you got to do a welfare check. Like, hey, are you guys okay? Are you all right, Lions fans?
Say the words.
Dude, I think that last year destroyed them. They went 15-2. And got nothing, and it crushed their spirit. And now the expectations, they don't want to talk about it. It's whispered. I hope we don't go backwards and go back to how we used to be. But that's what it feels like because there's nothing. Like I don't understand it. It's you're still one of the favorites, but the fans are just kind of checked out. I don't know if they wake up in the middle of the night saying, Jaden Daniels just scored on us again. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But it's a welfare check. What happened? Where was the bravado that was last season when you couldn't do anything wrong, when you went 15-2, when you were wearing disco shirts, when it was BOGO? And now we mentioned the Lions. No, I was telling David, you realize we get more interaction on the wings?
Yes.
And the Pistons?
Yes.
Than we do the Lions?
Yes.
That's why I'm like, I've gotten to the point now, something happened. I don't know if they're scared. I don't know if they're shell-shocked. I don't know what it is about them. But you mentioned the Lions? That's it.
I think they're scared of the, I think they're a person who all they knew was poverty. They came into a little bit of money, and they're worried about being poor again.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is. I think they are worried that any acknowledgement of the team taking a step back, somehow the PTSD of the last 70 years creeps in. Look, they're going to be okay. They're going to be fine. Regardless of what happens this year, I think they're going to be a good football team moving forward. The question is, are they capable of greatness?
And I would say this is one where you put on your big boy pants, because not everybody's going to win the Super Bowl.
I've heard that.
But you're great still point. One of the better teams, but the fan base doesn't act that way.
The problem is, I think if you step back from it, look, ESPN put their ranking out of the rosters. Well, the Lions are number 3. Roster doesn't equal team. The roster is the roster. I mean, the Bengals have an immense amount of talent. Were they any good last year? No. Rico, I think it's more than fair to suggest they are going to be in a fight to make the playoffs this year.
Right.
But that scares people.
But you're still a good team. You don't have to be 15-1. You don't have to have home field throughout the whole thing to make it to the Super Bowl. You don't have to have all of that. And it's like, guys, what happened? Like I said, last year, man, oh my goodness. Did you see us on the cover of Sports Illustrated? Did you see everybody was picking us? Everybody, we were the media darlings. And then you weren't. And now you can't handle it. You're still a good team. You're not bad at all. Please don't get it twisted. I'm just curious, what happened? What happened to you, man?
Also, is Matt Rhule hitting the tanning bed?
No, man. It's the Nebraska beaches.
Okay. Because he's up there looking like Ricardo Montalban. Matt Rhule is...
I was like, when did Mike Locksley change suits? Oh, that's not him.
Matt Rhule, man, mixing that SPF 50, man. Come on now. My goodness. A
heavy beach scene, man. That's how when you get recruited to Nebraska, you hang out at the ocean.
He may as well.
And by ocean, we mean cornfields.
He has enjoyed his summer. Has he been inside? Good God. Okay.
When I looked up, I was like, what happened to Locksley? Oh, that's not him. That's Matt Rhule. I don't know. I'd exaggerate it.
I took a triple take at the TV. I went, what? 248-539-9797. We're going to get your phone calls in the mix. If anything notable comes out of the waste of time that is Big Ten media. Coach. Corn cob delight. How cool is it being the coach and the balloons and stuff? Okay, go Big Red. Losers. We will bring it to you. I want to get to the phone calls next. We'll mix in a little college football in the 4 o'clock. I got something fun for you guys. Not just a little making fun of the media day either. Something good. All right. Okay? We'll get to the people. 97.1. All right, let's get to it. Rico believes the issue with Lion Fan and any discussion of the team is fear. Just to put it plainly. That you are worried deep down about this team, and that a lot of it is just false bravado, but deep down, the schedule, the loss of 2 elite coordinators, the loss of 2 Pro Bowl caliber offensive linemen, the loss of Aleem McNeil in an offseason that really featured a bunch of nothing, that you're concerned. Yeah. And
the clock's about to strike midnight, and you're running up out of there before the car turns back into a pumpkin.
Is that true or not? That's the question. Look, I still believe they're going to be a playoff team, but I think it's going to be a fight. I think they're way more of a 10-7 team than anything that resembles 15-2. But man, I'll tell you, if they can get to 12, 13 wins, you may as well build a statue of Dan Campbell. I mean, at that point, you're Vince Lombardi minus the trophy. Yeah. If you're just able to consistently go out and win that level of games, great. You're Andy Reid. Also, at the podium at Big Ten Media Days, noted horse fan and Saratoga devotee, Ryan Day.
Will he be there this week?
Well, he was there last weekend. I doubt he's going to go this week.
Oh, you don't go back-to-back weekends?
I don't think Ryan Day has that type of PTO package. I believe practice starts in like 3 days.
He's Ryan Day. We okay, just won the title.
You know what? Hope to see him. I don't care.
He's up there saying, hey, you see this trophy right here? That's ours.
Yeah, great. Beat Michigan, you loser. All right, let's go to the people. We'll go to Don and Troy. That slipped out. Don, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Hey, I just had a couple of points to make. Thanks, guys, for having me on. I'm just getting some lemonade from a lemonade stand here. Thank you. So I think Frank Ragnow really, like, kind of screwed him up a little bit. I don't know. You know, yeah, he has every right to retire, and I don't know what he communicated to the Lions as far as retiring, but I think the draft would have been different, you know, if he would have done it pre-retirement, and if he did, let the Lions know that he wasn't coming back and they didn't address the issue in the draft, and shame on Brad. You know, and then, you know, everyone's looking at Holmes like he's like this savant, but he's wasted a lot of picks and a lot of energy on like he reaches, like, Broderick Martin or, you know, Hendon Hooker. Like, we could have had tangible people that could really help this team at this time in need. And then what does he do for a defensive end? You know, he picks up Davenport. Okay, Davenport's been hurt. I mean, how many snaps has he played in the last 3 years? Like, he played one and a half. He played, I mean, or core. I mean, he played one game and what, a core and a quarter? Yes. You know, for the Lions, and then he was out. I mean, and he didn't address that other end. No, so, and now with Anzariki hurt, who's always been hurt, like, they're not addressing the right things. And I don't think he's seeing the big picture, and he's wasted a lot of picks on gratuitous picks. And I'm not really happy about that. I see him at 9-8.
Yeah, I mean, over the course of 3 years, Marcus Davenport has started a grand total of 12 games in 3 years.
Exactly.
So, yeah, your point is well taken. But what did they do? They ran right out and brought him on back. Don, I'm with you, and understand, you know, if you have an honest conversation in this town, you're put into two buckets. You're put into either you're a hater, or you go to the other side and you're just North Korea. You're all in. There's a space in the middle where I can say Brad Holmes has done a tremendous job, but nothing's perfect.
Couple drafts, we'll see. This year we'll have to see, but last year...
To the caller's point, Rico. He's wasted. The third round has been an absolute disaster.
It's like the third round becomes Brad's experiment. And let me get this guy and put him in the lab.
Hendon Hooker, Vaki, Manu, whatever Tesla is or is not, they paid 3 third-round picks to get him.
So future third round picks.
Yeah, right? I just you have to look at this. And that was the caller's point. How many of those picks could have been supporting cast players?
Yeah. You know, you were running out of bodies on the defensive line. Imagine if you would have drafted a couple guys.
Third round picks are supposed to be starters.
Third round picks are either starters or they're heavy in the rotation, especially on defense, where you could bring them in spot duty.
Go to Robert, 97.1. What's up, Rob?
Love the show. To sort of piggyback on that, Lion fans, the super fan, Holmes can do no wrong, would say, well, but that's fine though, because we got St. Brown in the fourth round, and it's like, ugh, you can't reason. From my perspective, there's generally two camps. There are people that are freaked out, but if they acknowledge that and actually say it, then it's like the boogeyman, and it'll come into existence or whatever. And I think they just want to deny it. And then there are other people that Holmes can do no wrong. Let Brad cook. Blah 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 blah. And then I think there's still some reasonable fans. I like to think of myself as one that says, hey, like a previous caller too, schedule looks tough. And you can play a schedule game, but play the quarterback portion of the schedule.
Yeah.
You know, they got Lamar, Stafford. I think Caleb's going to be good. I still think Jordan Love is good, not great. But like Mahomes, there's a lot of good quarterbacks on that schedule. And then it's reasonable, I think, to say, you know, that Vegas number, I think, is 10.5.
Yeah.
That's a perfect number, and it could be predicated on, is Hutch 100%? When does McNeil come back? Does Terry on improve? Is is Jack Campbell ready for the full-time takeover, the captain of the defense? So I'd love to know your guys'
thoughts. Yeah, I mean, Robert, Dan Campbell said as much with Jack Campbell. It's his defense. So it sounds like there's a passing of the torch. And it's also, I think it feeds into Anzalone's unhappiness and why they haven't given him an extension and why it's kind of been this weird storyline. So that's a problem. What was your other question?
Well, I think, those are my biggest concerns. But when you guys did that previous segment, you hit on so many of those, and they're really great concerns. I mean, look no further than newsflash, Goff isn't that mobile. And now we got the pass rush is going to come up the middle. Brian Flores is going to have a field day with that in any other DC that's worth anything. And it's just, I think they'll have an answer, but I would not be surprised at all. It's a marathon, not a sprint. If September is rough.
Yeah.
And if it's too rough, you're looking at scraping the 10 wins. If it's not as rough, maybe you get 11, possibly 12. But I think that beginning part there, Ratledge is taking first team reps at center. Glasgow was terrible last year. Let's call a spade a spade. Sorry guys, I'm taking a ton of your time, but
no, you're good, man.
My last point would be, it's my humble opinion that they expected Frank to play this year, draft Ratledge, let Frank Haley spray his fairy dust on him and make him a great center.
I don't think it was a big secret. I mean, Robert, I've been talking about Ragnow might retire at any moment the last 2 years, right? Like, if
people
I
kept
know
saying,
that,
no, he's tough. He's coming back. Like,
talk to the right people, okay? And that's my point. And like, look, Robert, here's the other thing. I want to just kind of land the plane. That Davenport thing. This is mind blowing when you look at this. Shout out Marcus Davenport for basically having an NFL living and never showing up to work. In his career, he is entering his eighth year. So in 7 seasons, Mr. Rico Beard, how many games has Marcus Davenport started in a seven-year career?
I will go 45.
36.
Okay.
He started one game last year, dead. He started 3 games the year prior, dead. He started 9-9-1 13-0. In his career, you look at the total games played in a 7-year rip. He has participated in a grand total of 68 games. I mean, you got to be kidding me. When you look at this, Rico,
it's good work if you can get it.
You signed him cheap because he got hurt for Minnesota. He comes here and gets hurt. What do you turn around and do? Sign him again. Now, you're dependent on him because Pascal's not going to be here all training camp and might not be here to start season.
Correct.
That's just based on some of the news you're getting.
Correct.
And I got to rely on this.
And you're just waiting for the Jeremy Otto update to say.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeremy Otto. Hey, diddly do. Marcus Davenport's dead again. And then Jeremy will give us some inane minor league report. Erie's changed their name to the Moon Babbles.
That was all over. It wasn't just Jeremy.
Where is Jeremy?
I think he did the mornings.
Okay. 248-539-9797. We've got some stuff to take care of. We'll get more of the phone calls. Got a blitz to take care of. Oh, it's Big Ten Media Day. Coach. 97.1.